Welcome to the Three Creeks Church podcast. Today we're in a series called Don't Skip Leg Day, and it's designed to help you find and follow God in everything He says. In this current season, our church is gathering once a month on the first Sunday, and then we're meeting in community groups for the other 3 weeks. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to join a community group, visit threecreekschurch.com.
The question won't be, how many awards did you get in life? Won't be, how popular were you in your social setting? That won't be the question that day. It will not ask, how much money did you accumulate? How much did you have in stocks and bonds? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh will see it together.
Well, hey, Three Creeks, my name is John Scott IV, and I get to be the Connections Pastor here. I want to welcome those back who have been in this series with us from the start, and if this is your first time joining us, I want to extend a big welcome to you, and it's my prayer that through our message today, our time together today, that God will really stir our affections for Him, that will send us into action to do what He has called us to do. Today, we're going to continue in our message series called Don't Skip Leg Day, where it is our heart and our vision that we address some spiritual disciplines that we as believers tend to skip out on or put on the back burner, if you will. I believe that as believers, we should fight to be complete and balanced in all areas. And this cannot happen when we skip out on things that we feel aren't our strong suits, or that if we're honest, we're just terrified of. And speaking of being terrified, I believe the spiritual discipline that we are going to tackle and discuss today, probably out of the three, is the most terrifying one that people would say scares them. Today, we're going to be discussing and talking about evangelism, the act of sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to others. Now, I say that this is probably the most terrifying to a lot of people for the simple fact that if a lot of us are honest, we struggle with just having a surface level conversation with someone, let alone a deep conversation with the ultimate purpose of sharing the good news of Christ with them. But what if I told you this? What if I told you that this idea of evangelism was not a suggestion by God, but rather that it was a mandate? What if I also told you that through this process of evangelism, that hearts were being changed, that lives were being transformed and changed for the cause of Christ? Both of these are true, without a doubt. Both of these things are true, but if we were to be honest, when asked about how we're doing in this area of our faith with evangelism, a lot of us would probably describe this area of our faith as stagnant, or for some of us, we would say that it's non-existent at all. And this cannot be the fact. This cannot be the truth of our lives in this area of evangelism. I don't know what barrier stands in your way. Maybe for some of you, it may be the fact that you feel that you just don't know enough Bible to share the gospel. Maybe some of you feel that evangelizing is for a certain group of people, like pastors or leaders within the church. Some of you honestly may say, well, John, I don't think that the gospel has truly impacted me in such a way where I understand or have this urge to want to share the goodness of it with others. I don't know where you are on this spectrum of evangelism, but it is my prayer that by the end of this message today, that wherever you are on this spectrum of evangelism, that you will take the next step to openly share your faith with others. Now, if you don't hear anything else that I say in the rest of this message, I need you to grasp this next statement, because it is pivotal for all of us to understand and know. God reveals Himself in many ways. God reaches people in many ways, but His primary way of doing so is through people. We see this in Scripture. God can reach people in however He chooses to, but His primary way of doing so is through people. Now, we see outlying situations where God reveals Himself directly to a person. We see that in the story of Paul on the road to Damascus, where God Himself directly talks to Paul and reveals Himself to Paul. But primarily in Scripture, we see God using other people to tell people about himself. This isn't anything new to us. If you was tuned in with us last year at the end of the year when we went through Clarity and we talked through the church era, this was the plan that God set in motion to tell people about himself. If we look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So we see in this passage, again, that this is the play that Jesus is saying we're going to run when it comes to telling people about myself. And the same is true for us today, Three Creeks. God is saying that you, as a believer, when you believe and you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you too will be my witnesses in your neighborhoods, on your jobs, in your families, and so forth and so on. This is the primary way that God is saying he is going to let people know about him. And he's calling us as believers to get off of the sideline and into the game as it pertains to evangelism. Now, Jesus didn't make this thing a mandate without first giving us an example of what this looked like. I mean, this was Jesus's life when he was here on earth. When it comes to evangelism, Jesus himself modeled it in amazing ways. When we look at our passage that we're going to look at today in John chapter 4, there are so many ways that we can glean insight and understanding from the life that Jesus lived when it came to evangelizing. And we're going to see that in this text today. This is a familiar story that I think a lot of us know. It's Jesus and the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And there's a lot of nuggets of evangelism tools that we can gain from Christ and how he approaches the woman at the well that I believe are extremely applicable to us today as we seek to share the gospel with others. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired from the walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Did someone bring him food while we were still gone? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of the Father who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for the harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike? You know the saying, one plants, another harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and now you will get to gather the harvest. Great passage, right? And I'm telling you, there are so many nuggets that are in there when it pertains to evangelism and how it's to be done right. Jesus modeled it in an amazing way in how he approached the woman. And I believe that if we're not careful when reading this passage, it's so easy for us to glaze over all the good nuggets of evangelism that are found here in this passage. We're going to discuss three distinct traits of evangelism, Jesus style, that we find here in this passage, John chapter 4, verses 1 through 38. Our first distinct trait of evangelism, Jesus style, that we're going to talk about is that Jesus cared. He was caring. He simply cared. To put it another way, sharing is caring. I bet you guys did not know that the Care Bears were onto something theologically when they came up with that slogan some years ago. But sharing is caring. Getting the opportunity to share the truth first starts with caring. And Jesus exemplified that greatly in this passage. If we go back to the passage in John chapter 4, verse 4, we see that the passage or the scripture says that Jesus had to go through Samaria to get to Galilee where he was going. Now, to that statement, I say yes and no. Well, John, what do you mean by that? Well, Jesus didn't necessarily need to save 3 days that it would have cost him to travel the long route around Samaria to Galilee that most Jews took because of the tension between the Jews and the Samaritans. But Jesus had to go to Samaria because the gospel is for whosoever. The good message of Jesus Christ is for whosoever, even a Samaritan woman that was deemed as the lowest of low by many Jews. You see, Jesus had a burning burden and a deep care for the lost that drove him to passionately share truth with them. And Three Creeks today, I want to ask you this question. Do you have a deep burden for the lost? Do you care that there are people around you that don't know the good message of Jesus Christ? Because what I do know is this, that you could go to conference after conference that give you tools and insight on how to effectively share your faith. You could sit here and listen to message after message like this one that is encouraging you and challenging you to get off of the sideline and engage in evangelism and sharing your faith with others. But without a heart or a burden that cares for the lost, we will never get to a point where we actively evangelize and share God's message to those who are lost. We will never, ever do it. You see, Jesus crossed so many worldly boundaries. He didn't let race, age, or differences stop him from the purpose of sharing himself with others. And I ask you, can you say the same thing when it comes to evangelism in your life? I mean, a lot of us, if we're honest, we're like the Jews taking the long route around Samaria. We're not looking to approach the differences or get out of our comfort zone when it comes to sharing Jesus to people who aren't like us. And this cannot be. You know, God has not called us to separate from the people of this world, yet he's called us to permeate it with the good news of the gospel. And how can you share the good news with the lost without first approaching or diving into the lives where the lost are at? We have to care. The trait that we see, this first one that we see Christ model so well in this passage, is that he was caring. He had a deep burden and a care that drove him to passionately share the good news of himself with others. Our next distinctive trait of evangelism that we see Jesus model so well in this passage is that he used tact. Jesus used tact, the intuitive knowledge of saying the right thing at the right time. If we go back to the passage, we can recall how Jesus approached the woman. He didn't approach her in this aggressive manner, or he didn't approach her with this babbling on and on of this language of Christianese. The reality is, for a lot, some of us, we don't have a problem of sharing the gospel. We don't have a problem evangelizing, but we lack tact in doing so. Some of us are going out telling people about Jesus, and we're doing so and asking people questions like, have you been washed by the blood? Meaning, have you been justified and are being sanctified? And, oh, are you a part of the body? This is weird. And as your brother in Christ, I'm going to tell you, stop being weird. Let's not approach people that way. Yet, let's have tact. Jesus, when he approached the woman at the well, he used language that she can understand. You see, Jesus uses the well as a metaphor for life, letting the woman know that if you drink from this well, you will soon thirst again. But if you drink from the water that I provide, that you will be satisfied. The reality is that many of us drink from different wells every day. Some of us drink from the well of success. Other of us drink from the well of material things, and others the well of pleasures. But God is letting us know through this passage that at best, those wells will provide a sense of temporary pleasure and relief. But what he provides, and through him, if you look to him and remain in him, that you will ultimately be satisfied. You see, Jesus listened and responded to what the woman said. A lot of us, when going out and engaging in evangelism, look for this ABC method, that if I do A and B, that I'm supposed to yield C. And what I'm here to tell you is this: it's not a one size fit all. What we got to understand is that it's a dialogue, not a monologue. A lot of us get out there and we're just given all this knowledge of what we know about Jesus without actively listening to what people are saying. And so when it comes to evangelism, we see that God used tact in this passage. And therefore, it would be great for us to do the same thing, to use tact, the intuitive knowledge of saying the right thing at the right time. Now, our third and final distinctive trait of evangelism that we see Jesus model here in this passage is that he clearly communicates the truth. He clearly communicates the gospel, the good news of Jesus. See, Jesus knew his purpose and reasoning for talking to the woman at the well, and he didn't shy away from it at all. As I stated before, when we're evangelizing and sharing the good news of Christ with others, we don't want to be robotic. Our approach to people may look different, but the message should never change. The message should never change and should always be clearly communicated. If we look back in John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus quickly and effectively gets to the point in the reasoning as to why he is talking to the woman. Scripture tells us this: if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. You see, Jesus was clear and urgent with his message to the Samaritan woman. He was there on mission. He knew what he wanted to share, and he didn't drag his feet in doing so. If I could be honest with you for a moment about myself, this is a mistake that I often fall into, this idea of feeling the need to relate with someone before I get around to sharing the gospel. And a lot of times it ends up ultimately with me not sharing the gospel at all with them. But the reality is that the truth of the gospel does not need our relatability to others to be effective. relating to others is just a bonus when it comes to evangelism, not a requirement. The truth of the message of the gospel by itself is enough power. The idea that we were all fallen, that we have all missed this mark of this standard that God has set before us. And what we deserve for that is death. And not just a physical death, as we all know that we'll die someday, but a spiritual death, eternally separated from God. But the good news of the gospel is this, that God, being so rich in his love and mercy, that he provided a way of escape for us through his son, Jesus Christ. That who scripture tells us this, that whoever believed that God raised Jesus from the dead and confesses him as Lord, meaning no longer is it I who rule and reign my life, but Jesus, I put my hope and trust in you that you will guide and lead me. Scripture says whoever does that will be saved. And it's nothing that any of us has done so that we may try to boast or take credit for it, but it is only through the love of the Father and the sacrifice of his son that we can have new life. And now scripture tells us that we are a new creation. This is the clear message that people need to hear. This is the message that is gonna bring about life change that you have experienced, that I have experienced. And there's many ways we can do it. I tell people all the time in this, that you could use your story of how the gospel message has transformed your life to bring people to his story of what he has done for him. We have to clearly communicate the gospel message. We must be caring, we must use tact, and we must clearly communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we can see life change in the lives of all who put their hope and trust in him. You see, as we get down towards the end of the passage, and I hope you guys can recall in what you read just a couple minutes ago, we see the woman's response to her encounter with Christ. You see, she didn't sit on the good news that she had heard. Oh no, scripture said that the woman left her jar there at the well and ran back to the village to tell people all that she had heard. And through this act of evangelism from this woman, scripture tells us that many believed and were saved. And I want to ask you guys, as we get ready to wrap up today, would that be a description of you as a believer? Will you be described as a person that is just so on mission to be caring, to use tact, and to clearly communicate the message of God to others, that you will run into your neighborhoods, on your job, and in your families to evangelize, sharing the good news of Christ with others? You see, it's stated in Romans 1:16, Paul says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God at work, saving the lives of all who believe." It is the gospel message. It is us as believers going out and telling people about the good news of Christ. That message is what's saving the lives of people. And if this is the case, which it is, I have to ask, what are we doing sitting on the sideline? Why aren't we in the game actively going to share Christ with people? Remember this, that it's not a suggestion by God, but rather it's a mandate. This is not something that, you know, if I feel good in the moment or if things are good in my life, then maybe I'll go and evangelize. No, this is a mandate. As believers, God has mandated us to go therefore and make disciples. That as you go in life, you are to tell people about him. God reaches people in a lot of ways, but his primary way of doing so is through people. I want to leave you guys with a passage that I read earlier this week that I believe if we as believers would take the time to read through this and allow it to get deep down into our bones and not just be something that we hear, but that we actively put into action, that we will see God do some tremendous things, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others around us. Romans 10, verses 10 through 17 says this, "For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, Anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, "How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news." Three Creeks, I want to leave you with one last question today. Are your feet beautiful? And I'm not talking about from the standpoint of a pedicure, but are your feet beautiful because they march with the message of the good news of Christ? You see, we've been called to carry this message. And I know many of you, your lives were changed and impacted by someone's obedience to the mandate by God to share with you. And I'm asking you and challenging you and us together collectively as a church for us to get off the sideline and work out this muscle of evangelism so that we could see God do some amazing things in our community and the lives of people around us. Three Creeks, I love you. Get out there and tell somebody about the love of Jesus Christ and hope to see you soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Our vision is to help people find and follow God. And we hope today's message did that for you. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to join a community group, visit 3creekschurch.com.